Today's daf is daf lamed hey, and we begin from the one line down. We said from before. Rav Huna Amar, Im b'shenishpa, hevi edim that hayta omedet ba'avos kfar gezalto shvua. So I'll read you the Pnei Moshe on this, because it's saying that im b'shenishpa, meaning shtavo heichan shari. The guy said that it said the owner of the ox goes to the person looking after, says, "Where's my ox?" The kafar bo, and he says he denies it. And he makes a shvua, and then a v'edim, and then after, importantly, they bring edim ha'ita umedet ba'avos, that the ox is by the trough there. V'achak v'edim sharu sha'ita umedet ba'avos, shal nifkad, kvar gezalto shvua, meaning by making the shvua, it's already stolen it. Klomar kvar gezalto nifkad ma'amafgid v'kanye b'shvua shenishpado, by denying it, he's effectively acquired, he's stolen it, and therefore he's basically acquired it. And since the person who, you know, who owned it was mekabel the shvua, now the person who has his patum leshalem. Now this is an interesting one. Why is it patum leshalem? He's effectively stolen. I steal something, I still have to pay. So I think it will make sense if we read a little bit more of the Gemara. And it says, because the Gemara disagrees, it's matnini pligi al rav huna, this sentence doesn't make any sense. If someone says, hey chanshu, where's my ox? Amar avad. And he says, oh, it was lost. And because he's a shomer chinam, he makes a shvua, and he is therefore exempt from payment. Mashbiach ani va'amar amen. The edim come along and say sha'achlo, that he ended up eating it. Mishalem keren, he has to pay keren, because he's effectively stolen, it sounds like. He delighted about the shvua. Or, we'll get to that soon, hoda me'atzmo, if admitted on his own, then mishalem for making this shvua pikadon, shvua chormim and lying, he has to pay the keren v'chomesh, the fine, and bring a korban hasham. Mashma, that he is chayiv. So what does it mean in the beginning when he says to make a shvua, he is kona, when he lied about the shvua, he's effectively stolen, his kona doesn't have to pay. It's a mafurish mishnah, that as soon as if he lies about, the shomer lies about the having the pikaron, I mean he says lost and still owns it, and the eidim come along and say, actually no, you know what, we actually saw you ate it, then he has to pay. So how do you mean he's patur? So the Braita says as follows. So the Gemara says, "Manin be'achlo achlo v'acharkach nishpalo." Mada amar Rav Huna b'nishpalo v'achar ken achlo. So it's a very important distinction here. What it's saying is, when does it say the shomer has to pay? That's where he ate it himself. So the time he ate it, he effectively stole the object, and therefore he's already chayv to pay. Then the owner comes and says to the shomer, where is it? And he lies. Okay, it's already a chiyuv tashlum. And therefore, if he ends up, the edim come along and say, what are you talking about? You eat it, then shuck this animal and eat it. Therefore, he has to pay. What is Rav Huna talking about? Rav Huna is talking about where at the time when he lied and made the shvua, when he says, again, he says, if you eat him, and then at that time, it was still in his possession. And therefore, at the time when he made the full shvua, he was simultaneously stealing it, considered stealing it at that point in time. And therefore, the article quotes Or Sameach, it's effectively like a kimle b'de rabbi bine. Just like if someone has a chiyuv mamon and a chiyuv mita, for example, in the same go. For example, like someone kedisha on Shabbos, he doesn't have to pay kimle b'de rabbi bine. In this instance, he's stealing and the shvua is happening at the same time, according to Rav Huna, and therefore he's patur mitashlumim. So therefore, from that point onwards, if he then eats it or does anything to it, it's like, or anything he does to the objects, is like doing it to his own object. So it's completely patur for tashlumim, which is interesting, like midin, you know, midin b'nei Adam. If you want to do tshuva, you probably should do something about it. But I say b'nei Adam, it's almost like a kin lev d'rabbi minei. That was, I found, a very, very interesting shot here, that with a shvua, you can have a kin lev d'rabbi minei that can patur him from paying tashlumim. Again, if it was still intact and had nothing wrong to the item until the point he made that shvua, importantly. Because again, if he ate it beforehand, the chiyuv tashlumin came before he made the false shvua. And therefore, he'd have to pay. That's the distinction.
So, but one second, why he should have to pay the keren or kefal, maybe not dalet vehei, but the keren he has to pay.
But that's exactly the point. Now, is when is someone chayv to pay keren? When he stole it. So he stole it, even kefil, right? At the point of time he stole it. So therefore, what it's saying is that if the edim come along and say before that you had effectively stolen this object prior to the time of Shavua, you're right, the chiyuv of tashlumin comes from there, he has to pay Karen. What the chiddush Rav Huna is saying is that it's considered stealing it at the time he makes a Shavua if the animal, if he did, hadn't touched the animal or done anything wrong with the animal prior to that point. So therefore, at that point, you have the chiyuv of tashlumin and the full Shavua bain keechad. And there, and in this situation, we have like Kimle de Rabine, the punishment from Shvua is the one that's in place and not the Chiyuv Tashlumen. That's the Chiddush of what Rav Huna is saying in this sugya. Okay, let's now continue. Machlava shittatei de Rav Yehuda. He says, we've got a problem with Rav Yehuda. What's the problem with Rav Yehuda? The previous case we saw when it comes to a Sechir, he said, well, he's only chayiv if it was a case, in other words, the parak started with the Kodesh Min HaTornish Min HaMishalmin, Ve'ilmin Shmin HaNotlim. There are certain cases we say that generally people, when they make a Shavua, they exempt themselves from payment. In this situation, someone can make a Shavua and collect it. This case, the next few cases we'll see, is that that Rabbi Huda disagrees. He says it's only when can he make a Shavua to collect? That's only if it's a modem mitzvah. Has to be somewhat like this, like Chiyuv Doraisa, if you like, but in the reverse. So the case like it'd be like a modem mitzvah situation. Now that'll make sense until you get to the case, which we'll learn in later, of the Chenvani ala Pinkas, if I'm not mistaken. So I'll read you the Korban, the Pnei Moshe. He says, "Lakamin gabi amal Chenvani, ten li bedinar peirot v'chole, diktani b'seifa, natan lo et dinar." The balabai paid the money. The amar lo, and he said to the shopkeeper, 10 li peirot will give me the produce that I've just paid for. Amar lo, and the shopkeeper said, netatin lecha, I gave it to you already. Vahalach, I mean, you took it already home. The toch beitcha. What do we do in that situation? So everyone agrees the payment's been done. There's a dispute whether the product has been handed over. In that situation, we say, Yishavai chenvani. The chenvani just make a shvua and he's done with it. However, Rabbi Yehuda's paling in that situation. V'ka'amar says, kolap shaperot, shaperot yado, anyone who has the perot in his possession, yado ala elyona. He is the upper position, he makes a shvua. So to explain, vokim nahata de bekupa munechet ben shnei mairi. And the only way to explain that Mishnah is where the perot that are in dispute are no longer in the shop itself. It's in a reshut she'enot. It's sort of resting in between them. It's no longer in the yad of chenvani, and there's no not in the yad of baal. So there's no, if you like, there's no chazaka. El munucham bekupa b'rushus harabim. It's some sort in the public domain in some sort of box. Ve'enacham en muchzak behem. That's the case in that. That's the situation we're saying. Ve'ka'amar b'Yehuda, in that situation, de'lo'lam balabait nishpa v'notel. That's a case with a balabait ke nishpa v'notel. Now the mafarshim from the Mishnah, we'll see what Rishonim does when we get to it. The mafarshim of Mishnah is saying that because there's generally chazaka that the shopkeeper would never let his product leave his domain without some sort of, like, if you like, payment or anything like that. So therefore, the chazaka is that this is really belongs to the balabai. That's kind of the idea, but still has to make a shvua to take it. But we'll put that expression aside. And this is, we don't even know. In this situation, we have no idea who to which way to swing it, if you like. And effectively, I'll just say the rest of it outside. That nonetheless, despite the fact in other cases, Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be like a modem mitzvah framework, there has to be some sort of partial admission. In the case of the Chenvani, he doesn't require partial admission. He just says the balabai can make a shvua and collect his produce. So that's machlokes today. In other words, why is that case different that we don't require to be a modem mitzvah situation in order to have this case of nishmim venotlin? But when, like all other cases, so it doesn't require, but all other cases we do require. Okay, that case we don't, other cases we do. That's a question. That's a, so Gemara says, Taman Amar, Afilo, the Gersa you probably have inside, Loyada Bahacha Amar Loyada, but there's Gersa change I have here, which effectively aligns up, you know, Pnei Moshe keeps the Loyada and Adyada, it aligns end up with this other Gersa change, meaning, Taman Amar Afilo Ein Sham Mikzat Hodeya, Bahacha Amar Ad Taman, so Taman. So al yedei she, sorry, ad shub sham odeh b'mitzah. So again, there it seems to be that we say you need a modem b'mitzah. Sorry, you don't need a modem b'mitzah. In our cases, you cries, you do need a modem b'mitzah. Okay, that's effectively the same thing, which I explained really in the Pnei Moshe, because the next one of hacha ad yodah ad shu yodua lanu b'tana balabait min ha-torah hu, meaning you require modem b'mitzah. That's ad yada ad lo yada. No, it's getting mixed up with Purim here. Okay, let's continue. Taman al yadei. The answer to the Gemara is as follows: Taman al yadei she'enu ke'en shvuat Torah, afilu lo yada. Meaning, even without a modern mikta. Baram hacha al yadei she'en ke'en shvuat Torah. That's why you need a modern mikta. So to explain, again, I'll show you the Pinamosh. It says Taman al yadei she'enu ke'en shvuat Torah, afilu lo yada, which means that's because we took out the word shvuat Torah. If you haven't noticed, it says. Shvuat Torah, Tanina Sofer, Shifa, fine. Deshani Hatam Torah. In the case of the Chenvani, this is a completely different situation. There's no person who has a definite claim and a defendant. Meaning, I want money, and there's like a to'en and a kofir b'mitzah. You can't frame it that way. In the case of Chenvani, the payor in dispute is not in the reshut of either party. Like we explained, Hilkach miyoda lemi b'mitzah. Who's the to'en and who's the modeh? It's not clear. In other words, there's no way of framing this like a shvuah d'oraisa. Call all the payors in front of us. There's no person who's holding something, another person who's claiming it from him. There's no muhsak, if you like, in this situation. The parrot is on the ground. They're arguing about who the fruit belongs to. Zermatilechadina, I said, I've already paid them. My parrot now, Padaka says, you've already taken it home. This is not yours. Mishumahachi, that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, that's why, because we say in this situation, we have to make it as if, okay, we'll like a parrot, we'll say the parrot like in the position of the balabait for the reasons I kind of like hinted to in the beginning, the yadu al aliona. In all the other cases, like the sechir and other cases, and the chovel, the nigzal, see all the cases, we have al yedeshim kain shvo torah kolomar aval hacha deshaicha b'moda. Why? Because there you've got a definite person who's trying to make a claim, and another person who's a defendant. And he's trying to take something out of his possession. Hilkach, oh, therefore, Kam Rabbi Yehuda, delo takinu, Rabbanan, the Chachamim only will metaken that someone can make a shvuah to collect something if it at least models or looks a bit like a shvuah d'oraisa. Because a lot of the time you see the Rabbanan ki'ein d'oraisa tikken. They will make something that they'll try and, if you like, leverage something that already exists in the Torah to build the Rabbanan on top of it. Okay, Ella b'di'ika ta'ana d'havi matzina meimrash shu kein toraita. Only one that looks a bit like d'oraisa. Okay, that's an achachanim atakin. So once again, just to explain outside, the Gemara didn't understand why in many cases of Yehuda, for all these special takanot rabbanan that some kind of keshvo notel, he says, oh no, it's not absolute. Only when it's modeh b'mitzah. In the case of the dispute with the Chenvani, he doesn't require it. And the answer was, if there's only in those cases that seem to, if you like, mirror to an extent of what a shvuah d'oraita would look like, that's when they said the Rabbanan has to match the d'oraisa, meaning there's a definite claimant, definite defendant. However, in the case of the Chenvani, where the produce itself is in dispute, there's no person who actually has a chazaka, really, it's not being taken out of anyone's possession, it's sitting in Rosh Hashanah, that's, well, you can't, there's no longer, there's no, who's going to be the modeh b'mitzah in this situation? You want to put it on. You can't do it, so that's why it's a completely new initiative that Rabbi Yehuda says, that the balabai can make a shvuah and take it. Okay, now the Gemara says, "Ma'u legalgel shvuah Torah al shvuat." Here, add the word takana. Can you do it now? We've explained before that you can do a gilgul shvuah. That means if someone makes a shvuah regarding one thing, you can megal, you can mechayv him to do a shvuah regarding another. Okay. So again, here the. Fine. So the Gemara now says, Nishmana, let's learn from the following case. Magagashvua Torah al Shvua Torah, Magagashvua Takana, Shvua Takana, Magatvua Shvua Torah al Takana, Shvua Takana, Shvua Takana al Shvua Torah. You can do what's called a Gilgul Shvua, even if the actual Mechai, the base Chiyuv one is Dorabanan or Takana Dorabanan, you can Magalgil something with your Shvua Doraisa. There's your answer. The Gemara says, no, that's not the answer, because my question was regarding these type of Shvuot. These non-classic shvuah, where someone's shvuah to notel, not to liftor. So tamad zenishpav enu notel. So the question is, in this situation, where the actual classifications, not just the right to rabbana being different, but the whole model of the shvuah is different. Whether, in other words, That's our question. Can you do Gigul Shvuah? I mean, I can understand when someone makes a Shvuah to liftorat atzmo. You can say, oh, if he's doing the Rabbanan, to exempt himself from something, he can exempt himself from something else. However, if it's a situation where a person is making a Shvuah in order to collect something, like the Sechir, can we megalgal a Shvuah on him to exempt him? Like the direction of what's happening is in opposite, going in two different ways. So therefore, that's what the question is asking. It seems to be left as a question. Next, the Gemara says, this is Halacha Bet, next Mishnah. Hanigzal Ketzad. So Hanigzal, someone who's stolen from. That's another case where we say the person who's stolen from can make a shvua and collect. So what exactly does it mean? Let's have a look. Hayuminoto. They were testifying that an individual came, Nichnas Latoch Beito, Umishkano Shalobreshot. That he went into someone's house to try and collect a mashkon, to take a collateral, to collect something, and he did so without Reshut. Meaning without Rishud HaBalim, without Rishud HaBeitim, he wasn't allowed to do so. Okay? Now, it's important here that the Pnei Moshe says, and this elaborated really in the Gemara, or at least it's certainly above them, but also in the Gemara suggested that according to the Perush of Pnei Moshe, is that Edim saw him enter the house without anything, and so I'm left with something, I feel like, under his coat. Okay? Amar lo, and the person whose house he went into, the homeowner, says, Ten li keilai shenatalta. Give it back. I didn't take anything. He can make a shvua and collect. Once again, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ad shiur, no, this type of special thing has to model a shvua d'oraita. That's what the Chachamim were attacking it. So Ad shiur sham miktzad odeya. There has to be some sort of partial admission there. Ketzad, for example, Amar lo, you took two of my kelim, shnei kelai natalta. Then the person who went into the house says, Lo natalti ela echad, only took one. Okay, fine. That is the... Now, just a few more things Pnei Moshe says. When he says Harin Ishbam Notel, the reason why he can Ishbam Notel is because Shavrim Mochachim, Sha'edim, the witnesses say he came to Breshut. Vuto en Balabait, Bemidi da Amid Bey, or Shu Amidu Makbidim Etzlo, the very Amid Bey that's proportional to what he would, you know, that fits his wealth. We'll discuss that in the Gemara. Or Shu Amid Makbidim Etzlo, the very Shu To En. Now, I think the Rishami actually, because we learn the Gemara, might say something different. In other words, if he's claiming, oh, you walked off with my, you know, $15 million rare, whatever it is, piece of artwork, and the guy doesn't seem to be able to rub two pennies together, then in that situation, it seems to be that the ganav can simply make a shvua, or it's not really a ganav, the gazlan, or defined as a person when in, without reshut, would make a shvua hesed bipato. So in other words, as we'll see in the Gemara now, it has to be reasonable. We'll see what reasonable is in a moment. So let's have a look. Hanigzal Ketzat. So the Gemara first says, Latoch Beito and Lo Latoch Chatzero. We're actually talking about the situation where the person went to his house but not into his Chatzero alone. Okay? Why? Because people, it's not the Derech, people think things in the Chatzero, so that's why we say that it's only if he went to his house can this person, the so-called Nigzal, make a shvua and take. Next. Lemashkano lo mashum davar acher. It has to be specifically, we know the person went with intent to go in and collect something and take something out of that house. But if he just went inside the house, no, we can't just make a shvua in order to take it. Okay. Finally, Rabbi Yitzhak also ubavad ba'edim, like we explained, has to be with edim. Once again, the edim that saw him enter and saw him leave with something under his garment, under his coat. Tachak knafav. Now, nichnas shnayin lemashkano. What happens though if two people went in? What's the situation there? So, yeva kada. Now, I'm going to explain it first like the Pnei Moshe that does quite a few changes. Then we'll go back over the Ridbaz, who keeps the gears pretty much like we have it. But I think the conclusions are pretty much the same, if I'm not mistaken. So, Gemara says, yeva kada. Yatza chavul ben shnehem, shnehem pturim. Let's say a person left after two people have supposedly beaten him up, and they're both exempt. What do they mean both exempt? So let's have a look. It says, Yavikada, Nifshot la Medina this Pnei Moshe, the Chavul. The Tanya Babraita, Yatzer Chavul be made Shnehem. So the Chavul, by the way, is going to be another situation we'll see later on, that if he claims that he was, we'll have to again understand exactly what the scope of this is, but someone who came out injured, and there's a dispute exactly what the injury was, or if he caused the injury, and then the injured person can make a Shvua and Notel. But what if it was two different people that came in? So the specific case, by the way, is where he went into the person's house uninjured, viatzar, and he comes out injured. And there's no one else in there. So that's when he can make a shvua. And by the way, if you're like Mishnah, you remember that it can only be if it can't be a self-inflicted injury. Okay, so it's quite clear he was injured by the other person. That's when the person can make a shvua, an injured person, to collect payment for the injury. However, once again, that's only if when you enter the house and there's no one else there, or into the room and there's no one else there. Yatsa im haya acher sham. If there was someone else there, two people, and the person comes out injured. The injured person can't say that it was Reuven Shimon in that room. He can't sort of say Reuven injured me. Because we can make a sense. That it could be that if, again, the person injured can't say it was Reuven who did it to me, because he may have had it schemed with Shimon to say, Shimon, do this injury, so now we can now claim money from Reuven. Okay? Nigzal as well. So that should be the same thing here as well. So assumption is that if there are two people, again, if there's a potential of two different people, that the nechbal, or the person who is the nigzal, can't simply make a shvuah to not tell. Because, according to Bei Moshe, it could be scheming, according to Rid Baz, is because it could be that that each of them can say, it wasn't me, it was him. Okay, you don't have a definite claim of who did it. That's another way of explaining why that is the case. However, the Gemara says, it says, Chaval, because here, it's interesting, Girsa changes what the, by the way, I'm inserting Girsa changes the, pretty much what the Pnei Moshe says, but here the Oz Vahada inserts it. He says, the Taman, o ze chaval bo, o ze chaval bo. The Gemara says, okay, that situation is different. That situation could be that we don't know who inflicted injuries, only one of them. However, in this situation, it could be different. This situation, since they're both ra'ui to take the item and then share, if you like, in the spoils, then in this situation, maybe it's different. Again, Pnei Moshe says, "No, everyone could be taking it for themselves." Then, so he says, no, you tried to bring a proof from the situation where someone was injured and it came out from a room where there were two people and came out injured. There we said it's patur. Why is it patur there? It's patur there because, again, either because it can clearly only be one of them, and either they can shift the blame to the person, like the Ribah says, or the Pnei Moshe says, is even if there's chashash that maybe they're scheming to put the one other party out of pocket. And in this situation, the injury, the collection, or the stealing, if you like, could have been done by both of them together. So the Gemara says, once again, what are you talking about? Ma damila, again, this is all the, or ma chamile, sorry, that's really the way the Pnei Moshe says it here. Ma shira ushnayim chuftim. So here he says, umahada shas betmiya. What distinction are you doing? You can have the same thing. You can create a situation with a nechbal, with a person being injured, can also make a claim of both of them together. Kagon, the Edim saw the two people beating him up. So in other words, if you want to create parallel cases, you have to make the cases parallel. And in other words, you want to try and bring proofs from one another, the cases have to be parallel. So again, in the case where there were two, he went into room one and he came out injured, why is he patur? Because you couldn't necessarily claim that one, like, it's very difficult to claim who, if you like, inflicted the injury. However, and that's why he said, oh, but it comes to a collecting, again, they came in and took a mashkon, that situation, put both together. So he says, well, two apples for apples, because who are you can have the same thing, if you like, for in a case of an injury. For example, that they saw that the witness said the two guys were beating up, then for a concerning claim from both of them. So too, because therefore, if he now makes a claim on both of them, then he'd be able to. He'd be able to claim from both of them. Because if his claim is only against one of them, Then you could start playing the whole game. V'yeshacherimot is somebody else. Hanotel bifnezer. In other words, what the Pnei Moshe is saying is yes, indeed, the cases are parallel, and the dinim are the same, but you have to understand what the parameters of the case is. If it's a situation where he's only claiming from one of them, then just like the case of the Nechbal, so too in the case of the Nigzal as well. Each of them can shift the blame to another person, or as we say, Pnei Moshe, they might be scheming one another that's trying to collect the money from this person he's claiming against. However, if it's a situation where he came from both of them and does claim from both of them, for example, in the case of Nechbal, someone injured, the two people, it was witnessed two people coming beating him up, then he can claim from both of them. So too here, in the case where they walk into his house, if he goes and tries to claim from both of them, he would indeed be able to claim from both of them to return that which was taken and claim the money from both. So that's the, if you like, the shakla b'tara that goes back and forwards, if you like, to the Koran B'nai Moshe, by adding a few different words. I'll show you the Ridbaz briefly. He says, Yeva kahada tatanina b'braita. He says, Yatsu chavul bin shteim. Someone is injured by two different people. Ita b'braita in the braita, they're both chayev. Not patol, they're chayev. V'nishba v'notel mishneihem, meaning make sure I take from both of them. Umayri dechami tabe, and the case is, whether chofti noto. In other words, his starting point is almost the end point, really. Again, because of the gears that we have, the gears, and we did add a lot of words, right? The az lo have ika acher elash tishnei, because in that situation, if they were both beating him up, it's like it wasn't one party and another party; it was both doing it together. V'lo yachol kol echad, therefore, neither of them can say ana ani achavati kol echad neima ani. Yeah, I hit him, but I didn't do anything. Right? I didn't call it an injury. No, if they're both witnesses smacking sticks, they can't claim that I didn't do the injury. And that actual person who did the injury was the other person. No, we don't accept that. Once we see him, once we see them both being engaged in this violent activity, Omrim, we say that they both could have done the chavala, and therefore the claim could be against both of them. And they can't say that I wasn't the one that inflicted the injury. So too, if they both enter the house, again, they're both saying we're trying to collect something. Amrin, we say, and they can't shift the blame from one another, and that's why he could claim from both of them. Okay, so it's kind of similar to like flow, but doesn't have this nuanced explanation. Which was, depends how the claim was being made. Let's do the last piece now. And the Gemara says as follows: Ra'u zorek tzrorot. Let's say someone was witnessed throwing stones into someone's property, sham kelim, and there were kelim that were found broken. So the victim, if you like, can make a notel beloshvua. He can collect payment beloshvua without having to make any shvua whatsoever. Pnei Moshe, he says here, in other words, ra'u zorek l'toch beitosh chavarav v'nimtzah sham kelim shvurim. With even without a shvuah, it's so clear in that situation. So obvious it was because of kelim, so we don't need even shvuah in that situation. I hesitated actually because I wasn't sure if I wanted to go on the next piece, but I think I will. We'll stop here. It's a sham. We'll do the next thing next year. All right, cool. Have a good day.